What a bounce back win. Just as the headline predicted. Edition. The Aaron Jones, who found his groove and lost his necklace with his father's ashes, but I'm told that he's found it again. Edition, which is great news. The Aaron Rodgers, don't interrupt me, I'm not finished yet. Edition. And more importantly, the Packers 1-1, but Joe Barry's defense, I don't know, Jim. Edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, and of course, on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app, which allows you to get this here podcast where you get all the rest of your podcasts. Google Play, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and my personal favorite, Spotify. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson on a well-deserved day off. He'd worked like 2 weeks in a row, full time.
No, yeah.
So
no,
no.
It's been like 6 days. No, he was off golf. Okay. I mean, hey, kudos to Jesse.
He knows how to game the system. Josh DiMaggio, Jolton. Josh DiMaggio is our
just to grab a random Tuesday, kind of just crazy.
I don't think it's all that random. He wanted to have some Coors Lights for the Packers game, and he didn't want to be up early. He knew it was a big day, and he said, you know what? Let's put this on Josh today.
Wow. You are Josh, such a nice friend.
Yeah. What a pal. What a foul.
Well, nevertheless, we will somehow find a way without Jesse, as Josh is our cousin sub of the day for him. And, of course, back in his undisclosed location where he belongs after doing the show with me in person yesterday at the Tundra Trio in advance of the Packers' 35-17 win over the mighty, mighty, roaring Detroit Lions, who are now 0-2. It is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. It was it was almost as if we called it exactly yesterday, right? I mean, we did our show. That was a bounce back. I mean, that's what that game was, bounce back city. And I liked Green Bay's approach. You could obviously tell the energy was better, but there's still a ton of question marks. I don't think anybody over there, I don't think very many Packer fans are coming out of last night against a bad Detroit team. Let's just call it what it is. They're not a very good team. And yeah, they're beat up in the secondary.
And wide receiver.
It was exactly what the Packers needed. It was a game, I think, to rebuild some confidence after the shellacking that they took. And they did what they were supposed to do last night. That's it.
I believe one Mark Gerald Tauscher Esquire said Aaron Jones needs to get 20-plus touches. 17 carries, 67 yards, 5 catches, 48 yards, total 115 yards from scrimmage, and not one, not two, not three, but 4 touchdowns. 3 receiving, 1 rushing. Tausch, credit where it's due. I don't know if this was your most bold prediction, but you were right on the money on what the game plan was going to be, and it worked out great.
Yeah, I'm actually a little bit surprised, though, because I really felt like there was going to be more physicality and running the football. And I know they tried, but the efficiency running the football last night wasn't great. 17 to 67, I don't know, you do the math on that. That's not awesome by any stretch of the imagination. But all in all, I thought utilizing Aaron Jones, you got Devontae, who is just an absolute stud. Devontae is the best receiver in football. Don't at me. Don't tell me anybody else, because there is nobody that's better than him right now. And Aaron Rodgers got back on track. So it was still not the cleanest game. I think offensively, the good thing is they know it wasn't the best, but Matt LaFleur was not going to fall into that same trap. Oh, Okuda hurt his Achilles. He's out. We have to throw it all over the lot. They did stick with and try to establish the running game. And Aaron Jones was just fantastic last night. They utilized him in not just the old school, I'm going to pound the football down your throat, get him out, let him catch some passes, pop passes. And it was, for as much as we gave Matt LaFleur grief about his plan last time, I thought he came in with a much better plan, and the fellas executed at a much higher level.
So there's so much that you said there that I want to get to, and we will get to some of it with our positives and our negatives as we do after every Packers game, and you can share yours on the talk and text line now again, because Jesse, you're right, it hasn't been 2 weeks since he had his last day off, because I feel like I just did this. The talk portion of the talk and text line, because Josh is located in Milwaukee, is 800-990-3776, 800-990-3776. He's got like 72 phone lines at his disposal, too. So if you want to get in on the conversation and share your positives and negatives coming up, you can do that via the talk portion. I will monitor the text portion of the talk and text line, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Before we get further into Aaron Jones's performance and Aaron Rodgers and the defense and positives and negatives, I want to go back to what you said about Devontae, because I remember a time when you were the starting right tackle and the Tampa 2 came into vogue. And it was something that was pretty effective at slowing down Brett Favre. And then you got Amon Green, and suddenly, not so effective because you ran it up there, you know what's. As we look at how teams are playing, this is the second straight week where they played a lot of two-high safety. Devontae Adams, they're saying, look, we're not going to let him beat us. And yet, on occasion, he gets an opportunity one-on-one, and Rodgers makes an unbelievable throw. He makes an unbelievable catch. They gain 50 yards. How good is Devontae Adams if he's still able to put up eight catches for 121 yards on a defense that is saying, we're not going to let this dude beat us?
Yeah, he's the best in the business. I don't think anybody can. There's other guys you can put in the same tier, stratosphere, whatever you want to put it, but every team is coming in saying, we're not letting Devontae beat us. There was one play, I think it was down in the gold zone. Clear as day, Devontae was out to the right, and Detroit had two guys over there. We're not letting that happen. And that's just what teams are going to do because he's so good. And he, Green Bay, again, Matt LaFleur deserves credit. You know, Aaron Rodgers isn't going to just say, well, you're taking Devontae, we're not even going to go to him. Well, you're cutting off your nose to spite your face if you're not going to find ways to get your best player the football. Now, that doesn't mean you force it, but they did find different ways. They had the quick little, early in the game, the quick little beep, ball came out of his hand immediately. Devontae picks up a first down. And then I thought kind of the play of the game. Green Bay's reeling a little bit. They're down, and it's a couple penalties. It's third and 16, and that throw that Aaron makes to Devontae, under those circumstances, if Green Bay has to punt at that situation, it's a whole different ball game. Detroit is brimming with confidence, making that completion. It's almost as if, when you're out there playing, you want to kind of get that deep breath of, all right, now we're rolling. You get that vibe because you can. It's not just quarterback and wideout. It's play caller. It's offensive line. Everybody will press. If you get a couple three and outs, oh boy, what's wrong? What are we doing? And you don't get into that rhythm that you hear Aaron and Matt LaFleur always talking about. That play was critical for that to happen. So when you talk about that, I think that play was, other than the Goff fumble and that fourth and one non-conversion, I think that play was the dictator, and it was your best players making the big plays to kind of get your team rolling. That's what you need, and Green Bay did that last night.
Do we underestimate how many times games, like, I don't want to say turn, because there was a lot of football left to be played in the game, but how vital those types of plays are, like, once you get to the end of the game?
I think everybody looks at the final score. There's a lot of, laziness. Oh, they smoked them 35-17. That was not a smoke game. Now, some costly turnovers by Detroit. What does happen is you make that play, you start rolling, and then offensively, it was pretty much the rest of the night until the end of the ball game. Green Bay wasn't getting stopped because they got on that roll. And rhythm is so important to this offense and to every offense. But the NFL, there's some games where you're just better. Green Bay was better than Detroit. But if you look at that first half, to Detroit's credit, they hung in, they competed their tails off, and they thought they had a chance to win. That play kind of set it off, and then, you know, the turnovers that Detroit had ended it. But this was not your run-of-the-mill blowout football game, even though the score would indicate that it was.
So, to Tausch's point, the Packers go into halftime down 17-14, which is better than 17-3. But they'd had three possessions in the first half again, right? Just like they did against New Orleans, because the Lions, much like the Saints, they were able to string together some productive drives. They put up 17 points. I don't think they punted in the first half. And as you look at where the Packers are on their opening possession of the third quarter, Jones rushes for 8 yards, and they're facing second and two at the Packers 34, and Rodgers gets sacked for a 10-yard loss where he turns right into Brockers, right? So now it's third and 12 at their own 24 when he hits Adams for 50 yards. You're right. You punt the ball there, and the Detroit Lions are saying, hey, they had the ball to start the second half. They were going to try and tie the game or take the lead, and we stopped them coming out of the break. And now, let's go score again and really put some pressure on them. That is a enormous play that, yeah, in the aftermath, you kind of forget about a little bit.
No, you look at, and there's always a few plays here or there that swing a football game. Obviously, that play last night was critical. And it wasn't just because it was a great play and a great throw, but it was the scenario that Green Bay was in. And they were reeling a little bit. Detroit really kind of had Green Bay on its heels. And it's always easier to play with a lead. That play, I thought, really swung the pendulum that Coach Alvarez always talks about of momentum back into Green Bay's way. And they never really relinquished it. At that point on, it was Route City. But had that not happened, I think that play was kind of the turning point in this football game, and a game that Green Bay had to win, and they were fortunate to get it done.
Sources close to the program tell me that we're having a little bit of technical issues in Madison, which might explain why I got a message from someone asking why we're talking about Badger football after a Monday night game. So I don't know if they're getting a rerun or what they're getting, but I can tell you this.
Well, just wait. What are we talking about? What
I don't know.
Which game?
I can hear it.
Hopefully,
I'll report
it wasn't
back.
The Penn State game.
So we will work on that. I was so
Jesse
confused.
Saboteur.
I appreciate.
I think Jesse sabotaged.
Uh-huh, big time.
I think's happened.
That would not surprise me in the least. So we want to get to your calls. If you're listening to a rerun in Matt, which I didn't even know we had those. We definitely don't have a best of. But when it comes
Enjoy
to Scalzo windows.
Scalzo and Brust. I didn't realize we're playing Scalzo and Brust in Madison. That's nice.
But when it comes to windows, the best of belongs to Gina Della and Pella.
No doubt about it, guys. We needed a win last night. Packers want to win this season, correct? Well, as the official proud window partners of Titletown, Pella of Wisconsin can make it so you can win dough this season as well. While competitors are saying wait till next year to replace your old windows and doors, you can upgrade to Pella with installation in as little as 8 weeks. Plus, the 555, it is back. Get up to 5 years, no interest, 5 months, no first payment, and 5% same-day savings on any order that day. Set your free consultation today at PellaWI.com. Certain restrictions do apply. See showroom for details.
Our positives and negatives and yours next as the Packers beat the Detroit Lions 35-17, scoring the final 21 points of the game. That's one of the positives. We'll talk about it more next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Tito's Vodka, America's original craft vodka. Find recipes and learn about their story at titosvodka.com.
that certainly I talked to Joe about was, hey, either play coverage or we have to press we were doing our 10-man rushes and playing man coverage behind it. We weren't hit. You know, we weren't getting to the quarterback.
That is Matt LaFleur discussing the defense and the conversation he had with defensive coordinator Joe Barry, who Chewy has decided is always going to be Joe Barry Carroll to him. So if you listen to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each weekday morning from 7 to 9 on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, you will hear a lot about the former Golden State Warriors center. Tausch, I don't want to start with the negatives after a 35-17 loss but because Josh decided to play that clip, which Josh is doing a great job. He's got a lot of balls that he's juggling right now. So we appreciate him stepping in when our normal producer takes yet another day off. But what do you make of the defense? That is my negative. I'm not going to say that they made all these great adjustments. It looked to me like it was the ineptitude of the Lions in the second half that allowed them to be more successful defensively. I mean, when Jared Goff fumbles a snap, when he has the ball slip out of his hand as he's about to throw the pass, and then throws a bad interception where he's being hit and throws the ball up for grabs for Devondre Campbell to intercept. Yes, they did their part. But I would say that that's more ineptitude by the opponent. When Matt LaFleur says something like he did there, where he basically says, I said to Joe, look, we either need to change our coverages or we need to blitz because we're not getting home with four. I thought that was a very telling remark, very honest, unvarnished. And it kind of gave you a glimpse into how they feel about their defense right now, I think.
Yeah, there's definitely concern, and I think Matt LaFleur has a bunch of it, and I think Packer fans have a bunch of it. I disagree a little bit on the, you know, you don't give Green Bay any credit for the second half.
Because I didn't say not any, but it looked like ineptitude more than quality defense to me.
There's a ton of poo-pooing by you. You have to go off of the pass rush was a lot better in the second half. Now, you could say they had a lead, and they were able to kind of let it loose, and that might be fair. Jared Goff stunk in the second half. I will agree with you on that, but a chicken and egg deal. The pressure did force him into some, you know, the interceptions, some decisions. I thought Rashawn Gary was very physical with his rushes. Preston Smith had a nice little in and out move that got some pressure. So am I concerned about this defense? Yeah, I am. I'm more concerned than I want to be. But Stokes, he came in, it looked like his rep count went up in the second half. You know, everybody is crushing Kevin King. He had another difficult evening in the first half. But the bottom line is, they didn't give up any points in the second half. They created two turnovers. The defense played better, but there is no mistaking the fact that you shut down the Detroit Lions, who are going to be, you know, one of the top picks in next year's draft. It still is, you're still getting the job done and you're still, you know, improving. But that does not mean that this defense has it figured out by any stretch. And Matt LaFleur honestly just told you something that I don't think most coaches are going to get into.
Yeah.
They have not found any concept of what their identity is going to be on defense yet. That's what that told me.
You've talked a lot about the importance of the pass rush. The Packers have one sack through two games. And it was
not great, John.
When Jared Goff had the ball slip out of his hand, recover it while he was laying on the ground, and then Rashawn Gary fell on top of him. Now, try to be fair, Rashawn Gary had a good rush there, but I don't know if he has a sack. Otherwise,
cheese on everything.
So that's my negative. Is the defensive performance your negative too, or did you have something different?
No, I mean, I think that's pretty, if you're watching it, you know, the pass rush was my big concern and one of the things that I thought could hold this team back, and it has not been alleviated through 2 weeks.
You're right.
Now, granted, it's 2 weeks. It is a small sample size, and I'll give Detroit credit again. I think their offensive line is better than what people think. And I think Matt LaFleur has made that same comment. Their young left tackle, they don't even have their left tackle, just like Green Bay doesn't, with Decker not being out there. I thought they held up well, but I don't think Green Bay's pass rush, it's nowhere where it needs to be. And if that's going to be the case, they're going to have to scheme and do some different things until Za'Darius Smith hopefully comes back and you have the three guys out there. But need to see more from Kenny Clark. Need to see more. I've been hearing all my guy Kingsley. I'm not going to criticize him because he's my guy. But
he did,
been told he's going to be making a big jump. Well, let's start seeing it. Because that part of this defense, I don't care how great Jaire Alexander is. Not going to get into Kevin King and the safeties. There ain't anybody in this league that can cover for 4 and 5 seconds. You got to get home. And Green Bay didn't do that very consistently last night. That's my negative.
We'll get to your positives and negatives coming up next, 800-990-3776. But, Tausch, what was your biggest positive first?
I mean, it's real easy to say Aaron Jones. I also think Aaron – I'm going to say Aaron Rodgers as well because I think they're just really efficient with the opportunities, the limited amount of opportunities that they had, and the big plays. That sequence of that throw to Devontae that I thought was the game changer, and then that – rifle shot into Bob Tonyan, Steinhoffler. That was just a thing of beauty. And to figure out, you know, getting Aaron Jones' touches and all things considered, Green Bay hung in there. There was a time in that game where the offense could probably be like, what the heck? You're giving up 17 points to the Detroit Lions in the first half. The offense hung in. I thought the energy was good, and I'm going to say, you know, Aaron Jones is the easy answer. I thought Aaron Rodgers was incredibly efficient with the football last night.
So you took, like, many of the positives. My biggest positive was, boy, can MVS really affect a game without catching a single pass, Steinhoffler? I mean, he takes the top off the defense, draws a lot of attention.
You just do not like MVS, and I'm
it's
not
my
sure
guy. No! You heard what Aaron Rodgers said. He impacts the game, and he didn't even catch a pass last night.
He drew the attention on the 50-yard throw to Devontae. Don't be swarmy. You're being swarmy. Aaron Rodgers, you are being swarmy. And
I'm
for
not.
Aaron Rodgers... Okay, great. MVS, great job.
I'm just going off of what Aaron Rodgers said. The play of the game, in your opinion, happens in part because...
By the way, Rodgers missed MVS three times.
Kicking himself afterward. He said that as well. I was going to bring that up before
so
I was called swarmy.
Maybe don't get after MVS then. So
I'm not getting after him.
Josh, does it seem like Jason's getting after MVS?
A big time get after him. I can't believe the things he's saying right now on this radio show.
Thank you.
I said he affected the game without catching a single pass. That's what I said.
Yeah.
He drew the safety for one-on-one coverage to Devontae Adams for the 50-yard gain. Aaron Rodgers' biggest disappointment yesterday was he had MVS open for two long touchdowns and he missed them. I was not being swarmy or smarmy. What I was doing was trying to sell my Steinhoffler. That's what I was doing because I did pick him, and he ended up without a catch. The biggest positive, though, was Aaron Rodgers playing like Aaron Rodgers instead of Al Rodgers, as Homer likes to say, when he plays poorly. We will get to your positives and negatives. Make sure that you share them carefully and fearlessly, like the things are done at AmFam.
Yeah, dream drive. It was great. Fans back in the stands last night. First time in 600 days. And you know what? AmFam is offering an unbelievable package, welcoming fans back to Camp Randall and the Kohl Center to celebrate our favorite teams. And to do that, AmFam, they want to give you an unforgettable Badgers experience, including sideline passes, tours, exclusive swag, and more. It's easy. Enter at amfam.com/badgers. Enter today. One prize is going to be awarded for a winner and their guest. Select either a football or basketball home game in the 2022-2023 season at either Camp Randall or the Kohl Center. You get a full tour of the facility. You get on-court or on-field pictures. 2 pregame sideline passes, 2 Badgers merch bags, $2,500 travel stipend for the winner and a guest. Again, go to amfam.com/Badgers to enter today.
We've had our turn. Now it's your turn. 800-990-3776. If you're on hold, stay there. We will get to your positives and your negatives next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Victory Monday is brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza. With delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's, Urban Pie, and Screamin' Sicilian, Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer.
Put a lot to show. So we had matchups him on the linebacker for most of the night. Thought we did a nice job schematically, finding ways to get him open. But no, I don't think I went into the game thinking I was going to get him on more than one touchdown pass.
That's Aaron Rodgers. Now it's your turn.
It's salty last night.
I'm not done yet. He winked at the end, though. He winked.
About trolls?
No, that was something different. No, somebody interrupted him as he was answering a question. He certainly was more than willing to let everyone know that, as he had said, it was a one-game thing. But I think he also recognizes there are still some existing issues with that offense and certainly with that defense. Let's get to your calls. 800-990-3776, your positives and your negatives. Let's start with Jim in Saukville. Jim, good morning. Welcome to Wilde and Tausch. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, kind of anticipating what you'll hear in terms of positive and negatives. I'm going to kind of stay quarterback-centrist here in that my positives were the throws to Devontae and Tanyan, and my negatives, and this was written prior to this recent discussion, my negatives were the throws to MVS. Yeah. And off of that, I got a question, and maybe you have you delineate this in this manner. I certainly do, but do you guys think Rodgers is a better or smarter quarterback before the snap or after?
Well, wait a minute. What, Jim? What do you think first?
Well, yeah. Kind of where I'm getting at is that, yeah, I think quarterbacks can read a defense, know what they're going to be facing, pick it apart, explain it to us post game. But what they do after that snap, i.e., maybe focusing on one receiver, Devontae Adams or whatever, is entirely different. I now believe that is where someone like Tom Brady excels. And I think Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback, smarter one before the snap than after.
Yeah. Jim, thanks for the call. Jim, I agree. I think because when you start factoring in everything that he does, the 12 men on the field, the snap count, the reading of the defense, understanding where he should go with the football, I think it is before. I think he has the great quarterbacks know where the football should go before the ball snapped. Then they can adjust, and they can make, getting out of the pocket and adjust, making those off-platform throws. But the great quarterbacks, Peyton, Brady, Joe Montana, they all knew where the ball was going before this ball snapped. They were at least where it should go.
But it seems to be... I mean, we're questioning his decision making with where to go with the ball. Like,
no,
he
not.
Is terrific before the snap, but no, I'm saying Jim's question.
You have to pick. This wasn't. You know how we put polls in the field? You can't say, well, it doesn't mean he stinks at that. I think what Jim is saying is he loves going to Devontae, and maybe because he's so dialed into Devontae, maybe when it's not Devontae and it's MVS. Maybe he's not as precise as with the football. That's what I believe Jim was saying.
He was, just for the record, he was 22 of 27 last night. So he threw 5 incomplete passes. One intended for Adams, 4 intended for my Steinhoffel Sleeper of the Week, MVS. There's no question that Rodgers had touchdowns to MVS that he missed. At least 2. Rodgers said he thought there were 3. So he saw an open guy, and then he didn't execute the throw very well.
Rodgers thinks every play is a touchdown, though, too. In fairness.
Well, and I think every call is a great call. 800-990-3776. Let's keep going with the calls. Let's talk to Dennis in Oklahoma. Dennis, good morning. Welcome to Wildy and Tausch. How are you?
I'm not in Oklahoma. This is Dennis from Nashville, and I'm actually on assignment in Egg Harbor. And
that's Egg Harbor, Oklahoma is a lovely area.
Oh, never been there. Anyway,
you know, I've never spent any time. I've never been to Oklahoma, the state of Oklahoma.
Have you been to Egg Harbor?
I have. Egg Harbor's beautiful, but I've never been to the Broadway show Oklahoma or the state. All right, Dennis, since you're not in Oklahoma and you're in Egg Harbor, what do you got for us?
Anyway, I'm up for my walk, and I'm a little hoarse from yelling last night. But I was in the south end zone, and my positive is what Jim had, the throws to Adams and to Tonyan. If you watch the throw to Adams, it was slightly overthrown, and Adams had to turn on the afterburner. I mean, he caught up to that. That was really impressive. And the throw to Tonyan, I don't know how Rodgers even decides to throw that. It's just, it looked impossible.
Sick.
And I think, Jason, you said Tonyan never drops anything, right?
Yeah, until last week when he did drop one ball. But, yes, he is unbelievable with his hands.
And then my negatives are the first half, the defensive line. There were holes that were 5 yards wide a couple times. And then
not good.
The other one that shocked me was the apathy at the Ted Thompson tribute. When it started up, I thought, oh, this is going to be a long-standing ovation. It was like a very, very polite collapse. Did you notice that, Jason?
Really?
I did, and Dennis, I was going to bring that up later, but I'm glad you bring that up now, and I'm glad you got to go to the game. Safe travels back to Nashville.
Oklahoma.
If you ever take
Nashville,
a trip to Oklahoma, I hope you enjoy it, but enjoy your walk in Egg Harbor. Thanks for the call. I would say this. I was, like, halftime. Obviously, there's a bunch of people getting snacks and beers, and et cetera, but I didn't think that it was the best produced honoring of someone, and I did not think that there was a whole lot more than polite golf clapping. I was disappointed in it as someone who thought very highly of Ted and always thought he was underappreciated. I thought that the halftime ceremony just furthered the level of underappreciation that there is for him.
There's
a lot of people that were gone,
true.
Though.
That sucks.
I mean, again, I don't know, like, I was trying to think of the other halftime honorings that I've seen. Nobody went
Reggie
to go
White's
get a beer.
Was big time.
Yeah, nobody went to get a beer when Brett Favre was back. Nobody went to get a beer when Bart Starr was there. So I don't know. I don't know if that was very good.
I hope you and Dennis are wrong, and everybody else disagrees with you. But I
don't think if you were in the stadium, you're going to disagree with us. But I'm glad that they honored him. Most importantly, all right, let's keep going with the calls. Josh, you know, when Jesse does this, now I'm a little leery of both names and locations.
So I'm going to be honest, Jason. Me too. I'm nervous.
So the next call is allegedly Brandon from Tulsa, which is in Oklahoma, unlike Nashville, which is in Tennessee.
What are the odds he's actually in Oklahoma?
What are the odds he's maybe in Egg Harbor along
Why
with
would
Dennis?
That be weird?
Let's talk to Brandon, wherever he may be. Brandon, good morning. Welcome to Wildy and Tausch. How are you, buddy?
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, I called in last week, and yes, I am in Tulsa.
Boom.
Oklahoma, go Sooners.
All right.
Nice.
Nice work, Josh. So, yeah, you got one right.
I've got positives and negatives again, but I'm not going players.
What do you got?
My positive is going to be Matt LaFleur. I really like Coach LaFleur and the fact that he can take a loss in 1 week, and then the next week going forward, he's not just a guy that says, well, I run my team, and we're just going to do the same things because I believe in it. You know, I think he adapts. He learns from his mistakes. He's not afraid to, you know, use plays from other teams. And, you know, the guy just wants to win however he can do it. So I really like Coach LaFleur and how
that's
he
a good one.
Comes off a loss.
Yep.
My negative is Brian Gutekunst. He's been the GM at this point for 4 years, and at what point does he start taking heat for this defense? I mean, you can't lay Kevin King at his feet because he didn't draft him. But on the other hand, you can't lay any of the best offensive players at his feet because he didn't draft them either. You know, so he came into a situation where the offense was loaded with players on that side of the ball. Yeah, Aaron Jones was still a rookie in 17 when he got drafted, but how long until Brian Gutekunst starts drafting so well that this defense turns around? It's easy to beat up on Joe Barry, yeah, but I mean, where are the horses at? I keep hearing about how stacked this defense is, and I just don't see the players. I mean, our front seven has two good players, I guess, Kenny Clark, and I mean, now that Zadarius is out, I guess the other good player is a mix between Preston Smith and Rashawn Gary, but both of those guys didn't really light it up last night. I don't even know who our linebackers are, and we have one great defensive back. Outside of Jair, I mean, who's the guy that you go into a game
thinking, good safeties,
all right, yes,
though, Brandon.
Adrian Amos, they're good. He's good. Darnell Savage, you know, again, they're good players, but we keep talking about this team being a Super Bowl caliber team. I don't think you can be just good at a couple positions and be a Super Bowl caliber team unless your defensive coordinator is so good he can turn good players into great players, kind of like a great quarterback can turn good players into great players. I mean, it feels like Brian Gutekunst, the clock is ticking at him to start really fixing this defense, because for everybody who can't wait for the era of Love to start, is this really the kind of defense you want backing up Jordan Love? I mean, is that fair to ask Jordan Love to come in next year or 2023 and say, all right, Jordan, I need you to score 35 a game while we figure out the defense for the 15th year in a row?
Right, and they are, it does appear, and thanks for the call, Brandon. It's an interesting point. I saw Peter Schrager, who was stirring the pot earlier in the week.
A big trader.
I saw him. I don't know if he has history with Joe Barry, but he made a similar point to what Brandon just did about how something to the effect of Joe Barry was around Jared Goff for 4 years in Los Angeles. He knows what makes Jared Goff tick. Do you really think he wasn't prepared for Jared Goff? I just don't see the horses. I mean, there are heavy, heavy investments on the defensive side. And maybe Brandon's right. Maybe some of the investments are not paying the dividends you want. And Darnell Savage isn't the playmaker you want as a first-round pick. And Rashawn Gary has not tipped the scale to being a really good player. But I don't know, Tausch, how you differentiate between their scheme stinks, their coordinator stinks, and they don't have good players. That's why they stink. All I know is that their defense isn't very good. That's what it would appear to this point.
Yeah, and I think Brandon brought up some good points. Obviously, you know, I said this team is stacked.
You did.
Definitely on offense. I think you need to start seeing more from Kenny Clark. He needs to be a difference maker, not just a guy, you know, plugging holes. He needs to be in the backfield causing havoc. And, you know, Zadarius Smith not playing really hurts this team from a pass rush standpoint.
No doubt.
Even in the limited snaps, he made a potential game-changing or at least game-altering play down in Jacksonville. But that is a fair criticism. I think Goody's got – he's spent a bunch of money. He's used a bunch of draft picks. I think Stokes needs to become a player. But right now this defense is – it's more full of questions than it is of answers, and I did not think that would be the case when training camp started.
Speaking of questions, I want you to ponder this, and we'll get back to more of your calls next. Is Eric Stokes Because I sit next to Matt Schneidman at the games, and Matt Schneidman should be wearing a Eric Stokes Georgia jersey. Like, I know he wouldn't wear a Packers jersey, but the way he talks about Eric primetime Deion Stokes, he makes it sound like this guy's going to be Jair 2.0. I'm not sure that he's that good. I think he may just benefit from how bad Kevin King is and how he's viewed by fans. We'll talk about that and get more of your positive and negative calls next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN, sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
First half, it wasn't looking too great for us, but I was happy with how we finished. Definitely need to start faster as a team, really in every phase. So we'll enjoy the win tonight, but we know that there's a lot to improve upon.
It's Matt LaFleur. The first half, it wasn't looking so good. Yeah, fair. At least your offense got going, unlike last week, but down at the half again. Defense again giving up 17 first half points, but so good in the second half that they didn't give up a single second half point. Josh, you have what, 12 phone lines in the One Call That's All Grubel Offices studios at Radio City in Milwaukee?
That is correct. 12. I'm looking at 12 right now.
All right, well, I know we've got a lot of calls, and I am trying to get them as expeditiously as possible, so let's keep going with them. Let's start with Zach in Plymouth.
Zach!
Z-man. Zach! Zach, I said. Zach!
Is this Z in the P? Is this Zip? I love it when Josh produces.
Hi, Zach.
I laugh more. All right, Zip, what do we got?
Hey, guys, it's formerly Zach in Cedarburg, but, yeah, Z and the P here.
Oh, you moved to the big city.
So my positive was obviously Jair Alexander. He's been my favorite player since we drafted him. I went to the Packers Pro Shop and bought his jersey immediately, just so you know.
Nice.
Okay. And I'm just wondering if, with him being as good as he is on one side, does that make Kevin King look a little bit worse? I know Kevin King's not very good, but with how good Jair is and how often they're not going to throw over there. I'm just wondering if that exposes Kevin King a little bit. I'm not trying to stick up for him. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, Zip, thanks for the call.
Kevin King needs people to stick up for him, so we appreciate Zach trying, but I think he brings up a good point, Tausch.
Zach was not trying to stick up for Kevin King.
Well, he kind of was.
It's part of the reason he stinks so much, because he gets a bunch of balls thrown his way. This is the, you know, the deal when you're playing with a DPOY and a really good player. Common sense will tell you, well, we'd rather pick on the player that we don't think is as good. And you're going to see a lot more balls. You're going to see things schemed up to try and get one-on-ones, and let's see how you hold up. And unfortunately, 2 weeks in, you know, Kevin King has given up some big plays, and that was what happened in the NFC Championship game. And he is going to see this consistently. The question is, are the Packers going to continue to put him out there? Are they going to give Stokes more opportunities? I'll be shocked if Stokes doesn't see more opportunities, because he made a couple of nice pass breakups last night. I think they love his potential. They don't want to just throw him out there, because he also, as Jason has pointed out, in training camp saw a ton of action, because Aaron Rodgers wants to test him, knowing that he's going to need to be a contributor for this team. He is going to go through growing pains, too. If you think you're going to throw him out there, and unlike Schneidman, thinks he's going to be the next Deion, maybe, but he ain't going to be Deion week three, week four. There's going to be growing pains, and I think the Packers are trying to figure out when is that time to put him out there.
So, do offenses spend a lot of time scheming when there is that vast of a difference between a number one corner and a number two corner? Like, the same on defense. Like, as good as Cliffy, the big Lamborghini, was, you know, that guy that played right tackle was no slouch either. So it's not like defensive coordinators went into games saying, we got to attack the right tackle because he sucks compared to the left tackle. I don't know if offensive coordinators are looking at Kevin King going, we have to attack him, or as quarterbacks are going through their progressions, they're saying, well, that guy's not open because 23's on him, but this guy's open because 20's on him.
Just, I mean, Tom Brady basically said, yeah, we saw Kevin King, we wanted to attack him. That's what Tom Brady said. So take that for what it's worth.
I don't remember him saying that, but I'll take your word for it because I know you don't lie.
You know, I mean, just watch some other stuff and actually look at other teams other than the Green Bay Packers, and you'll find information from other teams. That's how this works. Tom Brady did some documentaries.
So I didn't realize you were such a vast reader of other materials on other teams, since you don't read anything about the team that we talk about every day. You only read the headlines.
I read because I can form my own opinions on this team. I watch it closely enough.
So you're telling me that at some point, after the NFC Championship game, you read a story in which
I watched a documentary, and he, in essence, said, yes, we understand.
Wait a minute, what does that mean?
Josh, you shouldn't have let that part sneak in there.
In essence, said we were targeting Kevin King.
Do a little research. Check up on some
stuff.
Sounds
like you should do a little research.
I'll give you research.
We will continue with your calls, 800-990-3776, 800-990-3776. More of your positives and negatives as we kick off the 10 o'clock hour coming up. There's only positives, though, when you go to Fleet Farm. And there's only positives when you take part in their hiring events, which is going on right now. All locations looking to hire, you'll get competitive pay, flexible scheduling, and a 20% off employee discount for you and your immediate family. And you can apply online today. And speaking of applying, make sure you apply or join Fleet Rewards. Paula and I are racking up $5 rewards like nobody's business. It's great. It doesn't require a credit card. It's easy. And you can also enter to win a $1,000 Fleet Farm gift card. They're giving away 30 of those as their Fleet Rewards gift card giveaway. Just go to fleetfarm.com/sweepstakes to enter. We will kick off the 10 o'clock hour in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.